Luke 14 and verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to, learn some things. Dear God, good, solid Bible principles that'll help us, Lord, and help our young people to enter into this wonderful and very sacred, Lord, very blessed union, prepared, dear God, to be successful and prepared, dear Lord, in order, in the ways that you need them to be. And so, Lord, as we look at this precept tonight, I pray that you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All righty. Well, we spent 2 weeks so far. And let me just, won't review a lot, but we spent 2 weeks. I'm going to encourage you. We have the book here, Seven Royal Laws of Courtship. I spent last Sunday night talking about the second royal law, which is this matter of arriving to a marriage altar pure and morally pure. And I taught you some of that chapter. If I was to teach carefully everything through this, it would take us 14, 15 weeks. I'm trying to do it in about seven. One of the things that I didn't cover that you'll find in the book is what I call the anatomy of a seduction. In Proverbs chapter 7, we are given an eyewitness of account of a young man that blows it morally, just absolutely blows it morally. And there are 10 things in that chapter that will help young people to avoid the scarlet sin and make it to a marriage altar pure and clean. First thing we find is this young man was a simple young man. And you know what? Don't stay simple. I mean, you have to work hard at staying simple around here. Matter of fact, let me just say this. It's impossible to attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church and then to say, well, I'm simple. You know, a simple man is one that's not exposed to any Bible principles or precepts, so they're simple. A foolish person is exposed to them but decides to disobey them. A wise person is exposed to them and embraces them and accepts them, and because of that, they're successful in their life. Don't stay simple. We see that he was passing through the street near her house. Avoid places of temptation. Number three, avoid hours of temptation, the twilight and the evening and the black and dark night. You know what? When the street lights go out, go home. Go home. Avoid those, number four, who dress immodestly. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. What's the attire of a harlot? It is what the average, let me say this, it is what the average American woman is wearing today. Okay, we have an American culture that's decided that they'd rather be like the woman in Proverbs 7 than the woman in Proverbs 31. I'm going to say it again. It is what has become the accepted average attire of the average young lady in America. That's what it is, okay? Number five, avoid people of low moral character. It says that she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's without, now in the streets. You know, a lot of these girls that seem so cool are going to really be cool till you have to live with them. And when she's loud and stubborn against her parents, you think it's cool because you're the knight in shining armor. But what she is will carry over into the marriage. And if she's of subtile of heart, if she'll lie and deceive her parents, one day she'll lie and deceive you. Okay, so moral, look for good, sound character. Okay, this goes for young men and young ladies. Avoid people who can't keep their hands to themselves. So she caught him and kissed him. Avoid people who wear a cloak of spirituality. She began to talk about her peace offerings and paying her vows. And it's amazing how many young people can learn the Jesus talk, just enough God, to trick some foolish, simple young lady or young man into entering into a relationship they should. Oh, but they're saved. Oh, but they're saved. I know they got saved the minute they met you. Amen. And they'll get out of being saved right after they marry you. Avoid people wear a cloak of spirituality. Avoid those who talk suggestively or use flattery and fair speech. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And this isn't just for young men or young ladies, young men to be careful of. Young ladies, you got to be careful. Young ladies, you are very susceptible to somebody who's complimenting you, paying you compliments, saying nice things about you. I mean, what young lady doesn't like that? But you've got to be careful that there's not an ulterior motive behind that. Okay, and then avoid people who are always trying to get you alone. The good man is not home. He's gone on a long journey. I mean, no light goes on. He's taken a bag of money, which means he's going to be gone a while. Why don't you come on in? Really? Avoid people trying to always get you alone. Read often the consequences of fornication and adultery. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and tend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And so you can read more in depth and study some of that out, but I wanted to at least mention those. Tonight I want to focus on this. The third royal law of courtship, here it is: by the grace of Almighty God, I will arrive at the marriage altar prepared to fulfill my responsibilities as a marriage partner. Okay? Think about this. Week after week, you can go to the Sunday edition, to the social page at Terre Haute, Indianapolis paper, and you can see all of these pictures of these people that are announcing their engagement or wedding. And you can take scissors and you can cut out every picture and lay them in front of you, and then you can pick up half of them and pick them up and go like this. Okay, are you listening? And so what happens? Well, there's a lot of things that cause this. But high on the list is this: moms, dads, we are not preparing our children to succeed in marriage, because we're not really focusing our training and our teaching on things that prepare them to succeed. Listen, we need to set people up for success, not failure, in marriage. Now, you can't succeed for them, but you can lay the groundwork. And by the way, young people, you can be humble enough to listen and learn some things that's going to make the transition from being single to being married a lot easier. Every young man should enter into this relationship prepared. Prepared. Bible talks about this: which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? Sounds like to me there's some contemplation. He doesn't say as you're working, think about it. He doesn't say as you're driving, thinking about it. He says, sit down, get a piece of paper out, do some figuring. Am I really ready to enter in? Am I prepared to enter into this relationship? And there's three areas that I think a young man needs to look at real hard and decide whether or not you are really prepared to enter into a marriage contract and to keep the commitments and the vows that you're going to make to that new wife. First of all, number one, are you prepared to lead? Because according to the word of God, you're to lead that home. Okay, let me say this. If all during the dating or courtship you haven't led, you're dreaming if you think the day, just because she says love, honor, and obey, and she said it right in front of the preacher, so that means from now on she has to. If she won't follow during that whole time, do you think she's going to start the day? So I wouldn't, you know, that's one thing you better ask yourself. Okay, have I been leading? If I haven't been leading, what makes me think I'm ready to lead? Honestly, I don't know what I'm doing, obviously, because she's calling the shots, and every time we have a disagreement, I submit to her. Okay, I know you want to do that to get her, but you don't really want to live that. Trust me, you don't want to live that the rest of your life, because God didn't make you, sir, to be a helpmeet to your wife and to live in submission to your wife. God didn't create you. It's going to cause frustration for her, and it's going to cause frustration for you in your life. Are you ready to lead? Are you ready to lead a new home? Are you ready to lead spiritually? Okay. I mean, if you're going to enter into that marriage contract, sir, you are going to stand before God on whether or not you led that wife to church. Okay? I mean, kids, when they get 18 and drop out of church, told me one thing, tell me one thing right away. They sure aren't ready to get married. They haven't even figured that out. They're not leading spiritually. Are you able and willing to establish a home solidly built on the principles of God's word? Are you committed to taking your family faithfully to a good Bible preaching church? Are you strong in your knowledge of the Bible and in your convictions? Have you established them as a result of studying God's word? And by the way, leading always is attached to loving in the Bible. I mean, do you understand the difference between being a leader and a dictator? Because you know what? You can overconfiscate on this thing to the point where you don't get it either. Are you willing to seek your wife's input before making each decision? Are you willing to carefully consider how your final decisions are going to affect her and eventually affect your children? Do you have leadership in you, sir? Do you understand what it means to be a leader? Because you're going to be leading that home. And so you have to ask yourself, first of all, am I prepared to lead? Number two, let me give you this one. Are you prepared to leave? Okay. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave. This generation needs to find that word, leave, L-E-A-V-E, leave. Like, bye-bye, leave. Oh. Okay. I mean, mama's birds have enough sense to push the babies out of the nest when it comes time. Leave. I'm going to preach to some of you parents. You know, you're contributing to a dysfunctional generation because you won't make them grow up. Okay? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You hear a lot of young people talking about leaving home. They use the word freedom. Can't wait until I'm able to move out and have my freedom. Let me spell that for you. R-E-S-P-O-N-S-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. Because that's how you spell freedom. It's spelled responsibility. You think that don't use that word, because you know what you're going to find out? There ain't nothing free. All right? If you're looking for freedom, you're making the wrong decision there. Okay, so a young man has to say, if I'm going to take a wife, then that means I'm leaving my mother and father, I'm cleaving unto my wife, I'm starting a new family. And by the way, did I mention that means you leave? Okay, all right, you go form your own family unit. Moms, dads, hey, I get it. I'm all for you pitching in from time to time. We all, I think, when we can here and there, give our children, even our adult children, a little blessing, a little boost. And, you know, just don't make, listen, just, I'm not against a hand up. I'm terribly against a handout. And you know what? At some point, you're going to have to stop enabling them and make them learn to grow up in some areas. Okay? But young man, let me say this. Are you ready to leave? Are you ready to cut the apron strings? Okay? That means when you got a problem, you no longer run to mommy. Okay, you no longer wrong to dad. Are you mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, and spiritually ready to step out on your own and start and support your own family? Okay, but by the way, life's going to get real.
Yes, sir.
All right. The children this marriage produces are going to become, young man, they're going to become your and your wife's responsibility to rear, not your parents' responsibility, and not that of some daycare provider. Guess what? All those things that you've been ignoring all the years that's been coming in mom and dad's mailbox, they're going to have your name on them now. Okay? Every time there was a problem and you just ran in and said, Dad, the car, guess what? You are the dad. It's your car. All right? You're going to have freedom. Freedom to work long, hard hours. Freedom to pay bills, freedom of overcoming financial setbacks, freedom to face and solve your marriage problems, freedom to fix the car when it breaks down, the freedom to pay medical and dental bills, the freedom to deal with the ever-changing stages of your children as they grow and develop. And by the way, do you have to do this alone? No. We have the Lord. Aren't you glad? And by the way, guys, if we knew what we were getting into, none of us probably would have signed up for it. I mean, thank God that we were a little ignorant, amen? Okay, but thankfully, I'm not trying to discourage you. The Lord's there. But you know what? You have to have become a man ready to leave and cleave and start your own family. You know, I'm not trying to make it sound like a drudgery. I think one of the greatest privileges of life is to be a husband and to be a father and to support a family. And it's a blessing. But if you think it's easy, you haven't been paying much attention. So are you prepared to leave? Are you prepared to leave? Remember, you have to bear the responsibility, sir, I'm talking to young men here, of loving, supporting, and protecting your family unit. If everything, time something goes wrong in your life, you just curl up in a ball and break down crying until somebody comes and pats you on the shoulder. You're not ready to be in charge of anything, let alone a family. Okay? So the Bible says in Galatians 6:5, every man shall bear his own burden. Welcome to freedom. So you have to ask some honest questions. Am I prepared to lead? Do I have the maturity and spirituality to take a wife and begin a family and lead them? Am I ready to leave and take that responsibility? Here's the last one. Are you ready to provide? I hit that just a minute ago, but it'd surprise you to find out how many young men enter into a marriage without any solid, workable financial plan. Okay? Listen to me, because again, us dads need to stand strong on this. Young man comes to you and wants to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage. One of the first questions that ought to come out of your mouth is, well, let me see your financial plan of how you're going to care for my daughter. Okay? I mean, when you ask that father, and by the way, you ought to ask that father, yeah. I wouldn't give you a dime for a young man that'll run an end around a young lady's dad in order to try to get her. I wouldn't give you a dime. Yeah. I mean, if he's on fire, I'll pray for him, but I ain't even going to spit. Me, he's the lowest of the lowest. Okay? You know, are you prepared? You know, why are you avoiding dad? Why are you avoiding dad, sir? Okay? Because he's got some hard questions waiting for you. All right? You ask for her hand in marriage, that's probably all you're going to be able to afford, her hand. I mean, you sit down and you count the cost. Brother Levi, you were just a young man, young teenager here when Pastor Jerry Ross brought you guys upstairs in that room over there and met with the young men and taught this stuff in our Christian school. Because, folks, we're not in our Christian school just about teaching English and arithmetic, and we're about getting these kids ready for real life. And your preacher walked in with a piece of paper. I love this. The title of it is this: Financial Planning for When I Am 18 and Free. Yeah. I'm free. Pop the popcorn, man. It's going to be a good show. Okay, and you haven't sat down and counted the cost. Now, listen, young man, some of you have. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but you better get a clue if you plan on getting married in the next 5 or 10 years. Okay? There's something you better have called a budget. All right? Because those bills are coming to you. And by the way, it's not mom's or dad's responsibility to pay your bills. It's your responsibility, young man. If you aren't ready for that responsibility, you shouldn't have entered into the marriage contract. All right, but it's your responsibility. Again, too many parents are enabling these children and never letting them and making them face the real consequences and the real life situations that they are choosing. Okay, so you're going to live somewhere. Let's start with housing. Okay, it means you're going to be paying rent or you're going to be making a house payment. I'd say you're probably going to be paying rent. Unless you've diligently worked and saved up and you have a down payment and you can get financing on a house, and if you could and did, what a smart young man. But you know, two of them are They're chasing girls when they're 15, 16, 17. And then they chase one of them till she catches him. Because the focus of their life wasn't going to be about God's will. It's going to be about girls. And how many times did the preacher say teenage years are not for pursuing, they're preparing? But he's talking to everybody but you because you got it figured out. So you're going to chase girls all through high school, and then as soon as you can, you're going to run off and marry one of them. Yay. Thank you. Because of people like you, we don't have to have TVs. You provide all the entertainment we need. Okay, well, I showed them. Look at that. I got married. Where are you going to live? There's something called rent. By the way, it's not cheap. Rent in this area, I watched on the news the other night, we are the second largest unemployed county in the state of Indiana. Second lowest. Greene County. Second or third? I think it was second. Second. Okay? Which means, okay, there's not a lot of jobs, and there's some pluses on that. It means also that sometimes rent and stuff's a little cheaper, but it has skyrocketed in the last 5-6 years, especially with this crane project going on down here, I-69 project. It's not cheap. Okay? You got that little bride? Yeah, but I found this trailer. Now I can rent it for $350. Okay, but don't jump up and down on the floor. Because there is no floor. It's just carpet. All right, the carpets. And at night, you're going to have guests. So remember when you asked for her father's ask her father for her hand in marriage, and you said, I'm going to take good care of her. And so, listen, you don't have to start her out living in the Taj Mahal, but you've got to hopefully house her in someplace decent. Okay, so you're going to have rent, and then you're going to have an electric bill, and then you're going to have a gas bill, and then you're going to have upkeep, and then you're going to have insurance, whether you own or whether you rent, you've got to have insurance. And that's just to put a roof over your head. And then there's transportation. You're going to have a car payment? Well, no, because I bought a car that I don't need to have a payment on. I found one for $1,500. You're going to have then something called monthly upkeep that's going to be higher than your car payment. And a lot of calls for your buddies to come drag you back home. I'm not even against somebody start. I'm just saying this is the reality of it. You've got fuel cost, okay? You've got insurance on that car. And by the way, last time I checked, you know, mister, I'm going to get married when I'm 18 or 19. What are you paying in insurance? Well, yeah, but it's cheaper because I'm on my mom and dad's. No, you left. Leave. Okay? I'm having too much fun. Then there's groceries. Groceries. What is it with groceries, folks? Is this insanity? I mean, I remember you could not put enough groceries at some point. When we first started out, you couldn't put enough groceries in a cart to ring it up to $100. Now you got about the top half full. You go out and it's 100. Okay, have you counted this up? You figured it up? Because you don't just go to the supermarket to get groceries. You know that, right? It's not just food. It's household supplies. Remember I mentioned the other day, toilet paper is important, other things. Toiletries, you're going to want toothpaste and shampoo and deodorant. Okay, you want all these things. Okay. And so you've got that weekly or biweekly trip where now you're spending probably, you know, well, we'll just live cheap. And, you know, hey, good. And shop smart and do the best you can. But you're still going to spend a certain amount. Okay. You got health insurance? Well, preacher, we would just won't have health insurance. Then you're going to have medical bills that you're probably paying on. Because one thing happens. One thing happens. You end up in the emergency room. Now you're making medical payments on a hospital bill. Okay? Cell phone, your generation has to have a cell phone. That's a necessity. And you got to have internet. because you got to post selfies on your Facebook page. So you got to have that. And by the way, her dad's got her to the dentist all her life, and she's kind of used to going. I mean, he spent all that money on braces, and now you're going to let her teeth get all crooked? Okay. She obviously needs glasses, or she would have never married you in the first place. So you're going to have that. Now, listen. Every young man, I'm going to encourage you to do something. Every young man ought to, you ought to start doing this when you're 13, 14 years old. You ought to sit down with your father and say, Dad, look around. What's it take to run this joint? And sharpen your pencil and start doing some figuring. Okay, because all you're thinking about is which girl you're in love with and your honeymoon night. But you better start thinking about the fact that God gave you the responsibility of providing for that new family. So you need to sharpen your pencil. Okay? And you know what you're going to find out? I mean, I was conservative in the stuff, and there's miscellaneous stuff. I mean, this is to keep your nose above water. This is not going to McDonald's, which you've been pretty used to. Okay, it's not going, out to Cracker Barrel. This is just pray nothing drastic happens. I mean, miscellaneous. I've got a list of miscellaneous. And you know what? If you're not socking away 20% of everything you make, you're not ready for the next disaster that will happen. By the way, first thing on this list I forgot to mention are tithes and offerings. So you better figure those in. Well, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. Then you're going to need a savings account to pay for all that the devourer will destroy and take for you. So either way, you got a budget item. All right. Okay. And you're going to add this up and you're going to say, guess what? Walmart job ain't going to cut it. And 9 or 10 or 12 bucks an hour ain't going to cut it. I mean, you're looking at minimum. I'm sorry, this is just reality of life. I'm telling you, young people, I wish it wasn't. I haven't even mentioned what they're taking out in taxes. Well, I figured all this up, and I'm only going to make 18 bucks an hour. Are you going to not pay taxes? You're not going to have a choice. They take it out before you get it, the check, for those of you that's never had a job. They take it out. So now you're looking at 20 bucks to keep your nose. Well, we'll both work minimum wage jobs. Okay, let's add some more things. Child care. No, you don't get this, preacher. I mean, you know what daycare costs, by the way? You know what daycare costs? All I'm doing is this. Hey, it's great. I love it. Getting married is great, fantastic. Having a family, raising them. Thank God for his help. But you need to sit down, sir. Stop focusing all your attention and time on chasing girls and sit down and get a real solid idea of what you're about to get yourself into. Because most 18-year-old young men are not ready for this responsibility. There are sometimes some that are, but they're usually raised by really smart dads who really taught them and insisted they learn, and they were smart enough to listen to dad. But it's a rare exception of 18, 19-year-old boys ready to make that kind of a commitment. Okay? Well, we'll just both work a job. Well, what are you going to do with kids? Well, we're not going to have any. Go with that plan. When you find out that you did anyway, what are you going to do with them? Well, daycare. I mean, price daycare. Okay, your little minimum wage job ain't making you nothing. Because what you're not paying in daycare, you're buying your lunch, and you've got a second vehicle now, and you've got the fuel. So your minimum wage job is nothing. You might as well stay home. Okay? Well, we can't afford daycare, so we'll have grandma and grandpa leave. Okay? Brother Tom, I raised my kids. You raise your kids? Yes, sir. Amen. Done. I done raised mine. I'm done. Hey, I went to, hey, every once in a while, Gerald, Hannah, you guys want a date night every once in a while, about once every 6 months, you know? Hey, bring them by. Bring them by. Bring them by once a month. We'd love to see them. Be back, please, in 4 hours. If not, you'll find them duct taped to a fence post. they're great. Listen to me. I'm not, you know what? It is wickedly unfair. This, I'm trying to teach the me generation something where you think it's all about you. It is wickedly unfair to go to parents that have spent all of their life, not 18 years, because they had several of you and they were spread apart. So they spent the better part of 30 years raising their children. And you know what? They're tired. And they really aren't built to do it anymore. Physically, emotionally, mentally, they're not built to do it anymore. But you want what you want. You didn't want to listen to the preacher. You wanted to run out and get married as fast as possible. You didn't want to listen to your mom and dad. You didn't want to have a plan. Okay? And all of a sudden now you've got kids and you look at mom and dad like you're going to put them on a guilt trip. That's their job to take care of your kids while you go to work. It's not their job. Besides that, the Bible says you're supposed to be a keeper at home. That's Bible. That's King James Holy Bible. You're supposed to be a keeper at home. It's not your mom and dad's job to raise your kids. Okay? And again, listen, I don't know everybody's situation. I'm telling you this. Stop enabling them. All right. Well, they'll put them in daycare. Stop letting them blackmail you. Putting you on a guilt trip. You raised them. You're done. Okay, I know great grandmas that are spending 40 hours a week chasing around somebody's kid, somebody else's kid, so that they can go hang out with their girls and work a job and be absentee. And then when they get home, they're tired. So let's fix them something and get them in a bath and put them to bed because I need me time. After all, Preacher, what you're describing sounds like something out of the 1930s or 40s or 50s, and we were a better nation back then. There's a couple things my mom and dad did for me that means a lot to me. I don't know what it is to get off a school bus and not have my mom waiting for me at home. I don't have that memory. We didn't have a key hid somewhere. Go in and have to fix it. Now listen, I know everybody doesn't get the same circumstances of life, but you know what? A lot of things you choose in life. All right? What I'm saying is this. Are you prepared? Sir, you're making a commitment to care for that family. Are you prepared? Okay? If you're not going to be able to do it on $15-$18 bucks an hour, then what do you have to do to be able to make marrying money? Well, you're probably going to have to get some kind of education or learn a trade. Which means you're either going to school or you're going to apprenticeship somewhere. And guess what? That doesn't happen in 6 months. Which means your 18, 19-year-old plan just got blew apart. Well, we'll get married, then we'll work it out. You know, you don't even know what you're talking about. What I'm trying to get, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because I think 80% of the people in this church are right where I'm at when I teach this stuff, but about 20% of you are resistant to it, and you need to stop being. Because I'm trying to set these kids up for success. You know what? There's a lot of kids that don't make it 1, 2, 3 years, and they're divorced. Because that young lady is so ill-prepared going into that marriage, she doesn't have a clue what it is to be a wife or a mother. And that young man is so ill-prepared, he doesn't have a clue what it is to take on the responsibility that he's about to take on. Because it's all just two-hour Hollywood movies. And they lived happily ever after. Okay? So young men, when I have this talk, you know, I have a talk with young men. When I bring our young men in, I have a talk this straight or straighter. I'm actually being pretty nice because there's ladies here. It's called preparing them for real life. All right? Okay, young ladies, guess what? It's not just one-sided. Okay, you got to ask yourself some questions too. Am I prepared to follow my husband? He ought to be prepared to lead. You ought to be prepared to follow. Okay, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If you don't have a submissive spirit and you're not willing to submit to your husband, you're not ready to get married. You are not ready to get married. Okay, God's put it into a man to lead. You decide you're going to usurp that and you're going to lead, you're going to have problems. You are already setting yourself up for problems. So you have to be willing. And listen, I'm tired of hearing the phrase strong woman associated with rebel or loud or obnoxious or bossy. Well, we just come from a family of strong women. It takes more strength to submit and be a virtuous woman than it does to ignore Bible principles and decide that you're going to take on the masculine role of the marriage. It takes more strength to follow than it does to lead. Okay? Before you rush to the marriage altar, you should carefully examine yourself in this area of submissiveness. If you have spent your teen years resisting and resenting the authority of your parents, you're going to spend your adult years resisting and resenting the authority of your husband. Okay? Here's the question you got to ask. Are you spiritually mature enough to follow your husband, submit to him? Number two, are you prepared to help your husband accomplish what God has called him to do? Okay? The Lord said it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Genesis 2:18, Eve was created to be a help meet for Adam. Okay? This is Bible principle, original intent. Go back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and read it. Okay? God did not create a woman, give her the authority over the garden, protection under the garden, a job to do, and then create a man to be a helpmeet to him. I don't care how much the culture is trying to do the role reversal on this. There's something fundamentally created in a man. Even if he says himself, well, I'm just going to support her and I'm just going to be Mr. Mom and I'm just going to be, and sooner or later that's going to break down because he's not created to be that. And by the way, ma'am, you are the weaker vessel and you're not created to shoulder the load that a man was created to shoulder and the responsibilities. So you're going to eventually have a fundamental breakdown of both of these individuals because they're trying to do, you know, what Oprah told them to do and Dr. Phil in this matter of role reversal. So are you prepared to help your husband accomplish what God has called him to do? All right? So you need to set yourself up with that mentality. By the way, that's why a fair question that you ought to ask a young man that you're getting interested in is, so what are your goals in life? I mean, what are you going to do with your life? Well, I don't know. Well, I don't want to be a helpmeet to an I don't knower. How can I prepare to be a helpmeet to someone who has no goals? I mean, you just want to exist? You want me to be a helpmeet to help you just exist? What's your goals? What are you going to accomplish? Okay, you guys ought to have some plans. You ought to have a direction you're going in life. Okay, if you're not going somewhere, why in the world would a lady want to follow you? Okay. All right, number three. Are you prepared to manage a new household to be the keeper of that home? 1 Timothy 5:12, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Titus 2, verse 4 and 5, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now we use that phrase, keeper at home. Now, again, I ask the young men to sit down with their dad and have a talk about this. Young ladies, you'd be super wise to sit down with your mom and say, what is involved in being a keeper at home? What's the skill sets? You know, stop fussing with your mom because she asked you to help with the laundry. She's not doing it because she's lazy. She's doing it because she's trying to get you ready for what is going to be part of your life. I mean, young lady, could you start at one end of the house and in a day's time thoroughly clean? I mean, thoroughly clean every single room in that house? Can you go into a cruddy bathroom and when you leave it, it looks super clean, nice? Okay. One of the things we did with the girls is at some point when they got to be 15 and 16, this, by the way, this took courage. Say to one of them, okay, here is our bi-weekly, we usually went every other week, here's our money for the next 2 weeks for groceries. We'll drop you off. You go shopping. By the way, you're not just shopping for the next 2 weeks. Every meal for the next 2 weeks is on you. Okay, that means, okay, you don't just wander down the aisle. Now, this is how guys shop, but. Oh, Cool Whip. I can live on that. Okay. Well, that's easy, preacher. I'll just go over to the frozen pizza, and I'll just go over to this, and I'll just get all the prepared. Wait a minute. You forgot to look at the money you have. It's not enough, which means you have to buy something called ingredients that you use then to make food. Okay, we're talking about cooking from scratch. And that don't mean put a hot pocket in the microwave and while it's heating up, stand there and go like this. All right? It's almost ready. By the way, we're handing them more money than their new husband's probably going to be able to handle. And that's all right. It's all right. Okay. What are you going to do when your husband says, honey, I'm sorry, but I mean, this is it for the next 2 weeks. And guess what? One of your jobs is to make that happen. Okay. And if you're standing there looking at, 60, 70 bucks and you've got to get through a couple weeks. I'm talking about real life, by the way, folks. Yes, then you can't buy frozen pizzas. Yes, sir. And by the way, forget going out to Olive Garden. It ain't happening. I just can't live like this. I knew I shouldn't have married you. And then. My daddy took me to McDonald's. Okay, I'm talking about real, listen, this is what the entire society's doing with these young ladies in their teenage years. I'm talking about the average person in this community. Volleyball practice, cheerleader practice, softball. Then they get married. And they have the honeymoon. Woo-hoo! Then the honeymoon's over. Then they get home. And the guy says, I'm hungry. And you say, wait there, and you run and get your volleyball. Still hungry. What are we doing? What are we doing? Are you listening to me? I mean, I've young ladies getting married that absolutely have no idea how to cook a meal. Don't know how to do a load of laundry. Don't know how to fold a load of laundry. Okay, you do realize that once they're dry, you just don't go with the basket. There's a way to fold men's underwear. If you don't know that, you're not ready to get married. I know it's discouraging. I know. Preacher, sounds like you're trying to talk. I am trying to talk out of it. Save yourselves! Save yourselves. Did I mention your marriage is great? It's awesome. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I mean, I love it. But if you think, listen, mom and dad makes it look easier than it is. And there's a lot of things that they've dealt with behind the scenes that you don't even know about. And they protected you. And by the way, parents, that's okay to a certain point. But I think sometimes we need to bring kids in and let them see some of the realities of what it takes just to exist. I hate the way this, you know, it's absolute robbery to me. We are in a wicked system where the government, through all the varied types of taxes you have to pay, takes one third of the average income of the average. That is ridiculous. Okay, in 1950s, when our economy was booming and we were creating a new America and everybody was living the American dream for the most part, you realize there was only 3% income tax rate, 3%. So people had the more of their money to keep. And you know what? I mean, it's robbery. It's wicked. But it's the reality of your situation, which means you're going to have to be smarter. Okay? And what grandma and grandpa were able to pull off, the rules have changed. And you're going to have to be smarter. And you're going to have to be more prepared. Okay? And so this matter of just knowing. Now that's why I said all that to say this. You better ask yourself some real hard questions as far as the timeline of when you think you're ready for marriage. Okay, all of the argument for this teenage dating seems to rotate around this idea, well, but if I'm going to get married at 18 or 19, you better think about that. Okay? You better ask yourself some questions before you get married right out of high school. Is that one you're considering conformed or transformed? Is he or she been living by biblical standards and convictions because of the rules of his or her parents or the Christian school he or she attends, or simply conforming with no intention of later living a separated, dedicated life? And by the way, you probably don't know that at 18. Let them live out 18, 19, and 20 and see what they really are before you make any commitment to them. Young ladies that have given their hearts away at 16 and 17, by the time it's revealed to them what the guy really is, they've already lost their heart. So they'll spend their life making excuses for him instead of having enough sense to break it off and find a man. All right? You need to ask yourself a second question. Can you really live on love? Okay, very few men are financially ready to support a wife, establish an independent home 1 month after graduating from high school. Okay, real love wouldn't ask a young lady to enter into that agreement. Number three, is this decision really about God's perfect will or your own sense of insecurity? But if I wait, he or she might find someone else. Faith doesn't speak in these terms. You know what? Trust God. You can't miss God's will. Okay, don't hit the panic button. Let me say this. Will you regret missing your 13th year? What's that? That's another year of education. Yes, sir. Sure. I recommend to most of our young people, you ought to go to a year of Bible college. Just ground some things in you spiritually and put some things solid in you. Will you regret missing that? Okay. And by the way, how different will you look at the decision you're about to make in 3 or 4 years down the road? Now, I'm going to give you this and we'll be done. We'll have a business meeting. Okay, 18 years of age, where you're at 18, please listen to what I'm going to say. And I want everybody that's on past this, you know, 20-somethings and older, check the preacher out right now and make sure I'm telling the truth to these young people. From the time you're 18, the time you're 21, which if you count both full years is actually 4 years, 18, 19, 20, 21. How you view life at 18 and how you view life at 21, I don't think there is another 4-year stretch in your entire life where you will look at things more differently. Okay. An 18-year-old in this culture is ill-prepared to make lifetime decisions, forever decisions. Now, you can take that as an insult, or you can just take that as good wisdom from somebody who knows. See, what you think is so right at 18, by the time you get to 21, you're going to look back and go, oh, my goodness sakes. Yes, sir. Yeah. Because, see, from 18 to 21, you have a chance to actually have to live real life instead of sitting around just with spouting your opinion about real life. Your parents get really smart between 18 and 21. And a lot of the things they've been trying to tell you really starts making sense. And so if you go ahead and rush into a lifelong decision at 18 as opposed to giving yourself some time to get ready in maturity, ready financially, make sure your skill sets, make sure you spiritually are where you ought to be. Most young men and young ladies that marry 18, if they were honest and could re-choose at 21, would make better decisions. And so your preacher's kind of standing up here once again going, okay, don't treat me like John the Baptist as just a voice crying in the wilderness. Because see, I'll be there if you'll let me, and I'll help you. And even if a marriage built on a rocky foundation, if you'll get God in on it, I mean, you can, I mean, don't quit. But you see, I've been in enough of these 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old meetings to know what I'm talking about. So take a breath. All right. How many people are there in the world? 3 billion? Is it 3 billion people in the world? Guys, over half of them are women. If this girl's so impatient she won't wait for you, you probably don't want her anyway. Be smart. Be smart. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to prepare our young people. We want to do a good job here. Prepare our young people. Set them up for success. Lord, even with the best teaching, the best training, life's hard. I mean, there's a lot of things that nobody perceives, nobody could have imagined. There's not too many young people that get out of their 20s without facing something, some things that are extremely hard, extremely difficult. I mean, life just does not always go as planned. And so, Lord, how important is it that we build it on a solid foundation? So may young people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church ignore the culture. Start basing the philosophies of life off of somebody's Facebook page and the worldly humanistic philosophies that seem to be in abundance. May we go back to the Bible and say, you know, I'm going to establish some principles and philosophies of life that'll set me up to be successful as a husband and a wife and be successful in this matter of marriage and family. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us to do the right thing. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.